I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You're listening to the Room 104 Podcast with Cormac Moore.
FM 104.
It's Cormac here in Room 104. Now, you might have seen the Laughter Lounge, obviously one of the biggest and best comedy clubs in Dublin. They're being very bold. They're having a dark comedy night. They're having a dark night where they're letting their comedians off the leash and not worried about getting themselves in any sort of trouble. Penning it as a politically incorrect comedy night, and make with that what you will. You can head on over to their website right now and get more details about how you can stream it and download it. But joining me now is one of the acts from that evening, an incredibly funny comedian. He's produced, he has wrote, he has done gigged all over the world. And strangely, he moved from New York over to Europe, which we need to talk about that, because usually comedians do that the other way around. But Tamer Catan, sir, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on. Very kind of you.
No worries at all. I mean, the Laughter Lounge, one of the biggest and best clubs in Dublin. It's always a rip-roaring night, but
They take such good care of us comedians, and there's not enough clubs that are at their level in terms of how they are off stage too. So they're great.
Yeah, and they've been one of the leading clubs trying to figure out how to do comedy during lockdowns and how to figure out, you know, what to do and to keep comedians working and to keep the place ticking over as well. So it's great. And I do want to chat about the comedy night they've just announced and that they'll be releasing. But you have an incredibly interesting life, and I've been watching some of your comedy, and it's phenomenally good. I was watching it jealously earlier on, going, damn it, he's getting so many jokes in there, man. What a dickhead. I was just like, how is he doing it? But you, as I said, you moved from New York over to Europe to gig over here. And I know so many Irish comedians and English comedians who've done the exact opposite because they want to break America. But like, why?
Yeah, why is a great question. You know, I think that America's done some fabulous PR. I mean, we keep saying that we're number one, even though nobody claims to be number two. Like, it's like we're in this contest that nobody entered, but we're the champions of. It's bizarre. Yeah. And I think, you know, when you look at things like Squid Game on Netflix, that it's a reminder that great stories can come from anywhere.
Yeah.
It's not owned by Hollywood. It's not owned by American comedians. The way I look at comedy now is the way I looked at basketball in the Olympics in the 90s, where, you know, America just invented it. So it was a little bit ahead of everyone else. And America would have games where we'd win 160-12 against Bulgaria, you know, but now we're losing to Eastern European countries. And I think that's the accurate measure at this point now, is now everybody knows how to play the game. The Irish are phenomenal storytellers. Everyone in every culture, comedy is not owned by any one nation. So I don't see how any one place can call themselves the best when, you know, it's an art form that is universal and human. I don't think you can use geographic lines to define where the best comes from.
How has life been? How long have you been over this neck of the woods, and how long have you been in Europe?
Man, I'll tell you this. I hate that the best time in my life was during this pandemic. It's a terrible thing. You know, I feel it's been very hard for me in some ways, but it's been the greatest 2 years of my life. Like, I wasn't just single. I was single with an exclamation mark. No one wanted to date me. I was like the terrible rescue animal that nobody wanted to take home. And I was on a dating app when I was in New York because we were quarantined, and New York is awful when you're stuck inside those tiny apartments.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just did what psychologically I think my body needed, which was to leave. Even though I couldn't leave New York physically, I could leave psychologically. And there was a dating app called Bumble. It had a feature called Passport. So I put myself where I was meant to be that summer, which was Barcelona. And I met a there who was super funny, just made me laugh my ass off, and had a tattoo on her forearm that said, "It's great to be the king," which is a quote from a Mel Brooks movie that I absolutely loved. And so her and I started speaking just like I would on a normal dating app. But because it was a quarantine, we ended up chatting 5-6 hours a day and wow. absolutely fell in love with her. She and I both had COVID and recovered already. And she was in Barcelona alone in this apartment because her flatmates had moved back to Germany to quarantine there. So she had this great idea where I'd fly to Barcelona and stay in the extra room and we'd get to know each other over the summer. I had a piece of paper from the physician saying I'd recovered and had zero possibility of infecting anyone. But when I got to Barcelona, they said the law changed and they put me in jail and made me spend the night in jail.
What?
Yeah, man. Insane. Absolutely insane. They were apologetic about it. They said, "We're sorry. They took away my passport. They put me in jail." And the next day they took me onto a plane with police escort, handed my passport to the flight. I mean, everybody on the plane was looking at me like I was Hannibal Lecter. It was crazy. And then they sent me back to America and I didn't want to give up and neither did she. And I started doing research on where we could meet. And because my dad was in a Beatles cover band when I was in Egypt, a little kid, sounds crazy. Imagine the Beatles sung with an Arabic accent in English. Michel, my belle. But because of that, I knew all these random facts about John Lennon and Yoko Ono. And I knew they got married in Gibraltar and it was a tiny country. So I looked it up. It was green and they were allowing Americans in and it was technically on Spanish soil. So very close to her. She flew down. We met. And the day we met, I asked her to marry me.
Shut up. No, you didn't.
Swear to God. I swear to God. And we got married in a couple of weeks because it took 2 weeks for her birth certificate to arrive from Sweden because even DHL was delayed because of COVID.
Yeah.
So we lived on Gibraltar for two weeks, got married, walked across the border, and then moved to Barcelona.
Tamara, that's all too happy. I was waiting for the comedic ending where it was like, turns out she was a serial killer and I was trapped for 9 months in a basement somewhere in Barcelona. That's ridiculous.
If you want the sad part, I just came back from an 11-day tour. I got home. We were going to have sex, but she wasn't in the mood.
You're like, it was a beautiful romantic story. And then the same human things. It's like, I'm not in the mood tonight. Go sort yourself out downstairs. Wow, Jesus, that's amazing. So pandemic, I think it kicked a lot of people up the arse to kind of say, make the change you're going to make now, because living in a tiny room isn't too good. But that's ridiculous, man. As I said, you're gigging with the Laughter Lounge for their Dark Night. I suppose, what is your take on dark comedy and dark humor? Because I think a lot of Irish people, I think we do like it and we do love it. And I remember chatting to a friend of mine who just said it off the cuff. She was like, dark comedy is better because it deals with the real stuff. You know what I mean? And she kind of put it that way. I was like, yeah, it kind of does. And even though people might think of it as inappropriate, it's broaching those difficult experiences. And I know everyone has a different view of it. But what is your take on, let's say, dark comedy and the political, quote unquote, incorrectness or political correctness in comedy at the moment?
Well, I don't think it's a coincidence that the things that cause the most trouble in the world are the things that we talk about least, right? Mm-hmm. Like we don't talk about religion. We don't talk about politics. We don't talk about this and that. And those are the things that cause the most problems. It almost seems like talking about things is a solution. Like calling dark comedians dark who talk about dark things is like calling firefighters lovers of fire who put out fires.
Yeah.
We actually shed light on dark things. It's the people who don't want to talk about dark things who are actually dark. You know, like I actually studied social psychology when I was in university and no one knows why we laugh, but there are hypotheses. And one of my favorite hypotheses and probably the one that's most talked about is there was a time, this anecdotal notion of where laughter comes from. There was a time when a bunch of cavemen were sitting around a fire, all living a very stressful life because they could die at any minute. And they were sitting around a fire in a moment of rest, about to eat together, and they heard a rustling in the bush and they all tensed up. And when that tension happened, a rabbit jumped out of the bush and then laughter started. And I think that's the architecture of comedy. There's tension and then release.
Yeah.
And if you don't have things that create tension, you don't really have release.
Yeah,
and so
yeah, yeah.
It is a sensitive time and people do care about how things make them feel. But I don't think it's that comedy has become darker or that comedy has become more rude or more inappropriate or comedians are more alpha or more bullies. It's not. I think people are more sensitive. And so I think it's a tough course that we have to navigate now. We can walk a tight wire, but that's our job as comedians. We're not a battering ram. We're a Trojan horse. We're still going to fight. We still have soldiers inside that horse, but it has to look like a gift on the way in. And I think because of clubs like Laughter Lounge and because of events like this, it gives us the opportunity to practice building our Trojan horses.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, the things that feel dark create lightness. And it is a gift once we get past those doors.
Do you think certain people are able to talk about certain topics a little bit easier? Or do you think you should have skin in the game, for want of a better word? You do. I've seen some of your jokes on UV, Muslim Jewish background. So it gives you license to go to town on that. Like, and I've done stuff before on, you're being Catholic or Irish in our drinking culture. And do you think it's, some people may cross those lines and it might feel a little bit jarring, but is it better to kind of, I don't want to say stay in your lane, but maybe kind of stick to what you know? And is that where problems come, or what's your take on people talking about stuff they might not have experience with?
Sure. I mean, the way I look at it is, before I got into comedy, I worked in advertising. And for me, the best advertising, when someone was speaking to millions of people at the same time, is if it was authentic to how you would speak to another person. The way that I judge whether or not comedy is inappropriate is, if you're talking about Irish people, if you're talking about Black people, would you say that same joke if they were in the room?
I don't think
you have to be Black or have to be Irish, because when I speak to my Black friends, of course I talk to them about Black issues. When I speak to my Irish friends, of course I speak to them about Irish issues. And I should do, because that's what it means to be a friend. And every great revolution needed an outsider to help the revolution succeed. And I think people need outsiders to show empathy, because at the end of the day, race is fake. It's a construct. We are all human beings first. And that's what's going to be most healing, is when we all think of ourselves as human beings first. I said this to one of my friends the other day, that the news has created a problem by listing all crimes by race first. Black man does this, Latino man does that. It should be by the cause of the crime. Man without healthcare robs bank. Boy who's been physically abused attacks the police. You know what I mean? Mentally ill old man thinks he's still president of the United States. Like, that's the way, that's the way.
That could be a few of them. I was jumping back and forth between a few of them. But I think you're right. And I know when the Laughter Lounge, the Dark Knight Comedy Night is coming up, it's not going to be, if you're wondering, is it just going to be profanities and people screaming abuse in your face? No, of course not. I said the best comedy can be that again, delicately and masterfully touches on those, I think, points. And as you said, we like to sweep under the rug. I mean, we're brilliant at sweeping things under the carpet in this country, and someone like yourself and whoever else might just be peeking over going, what did we put in under here now? Hang on a second. Let's go. So if you're listening and you want to check it out, head on over to the Laughter Lounge's page. Tamir is on with a load of other insanely good comedians, but do check it out. It's on the 23rd of November at 9 p.m. It's streaming on the 23rd of November at 9 p.m. for one night only, by the way, which would be brilliant. And I like that, because adds a bit of suspense to it. But apart from that gig, which you should go and check out, where can people find you online? Because you've been gigging all over Europe, and are you doing any more Irish dates?
100%. Yes, absolutely. I come to Dublin quite often. It's one of my favorite places in the world. And several of my best friends are Irish. So I make a point of coming to Ireland often. So I'm going to be headlining a weekend in January at Laughter Lounge.
Oh, brilliant.
So I'm going to be there live. And I come regularly all across Ireland. So the best place to follow me is on Instagram, and it's Tamir Kat. It's TamirKat. Instagram's the best. And then I also have the website, tamirkatan.com. But Instagram is where I post all my shows and stuff.
Brilliant.
By the way, we shot the intro to The Dark Knight at Wicklow Prison.
Oh, I saw that. I was wondering where that was. It's very good, very terrifying.
Yeah, it was so scary.
Yeah. So again, head on over to the lounge, follow Tamir on Tamar Catt on Instagram and all the usual places, and be sure to check him out next time he's over, and be sure to check out the November 23rd live streaming gig. But listen, man, it's always a pleasure. Anytime you're back over, give us a shout, and delighted to have you on.
That's the deal. I really appreciate that. Hey, next time I'm there, let me grab buy you a beer.
Don't tempt me. There'll be one might turn into many. Thanks very much, man.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.